kind of cool.
No, because I haven't seen Dirt yet.
And he's no Joshua Jackson, but...
Who is? We, blah, blah, blah. What was I saying? Oh, but we didn't watch Dirt, or I didn't. We didn't. Did you?
I remember I saw a little bit of it, and it just didn't
seemed
really grab
bad.
My attention.
Yeah, the critics didn't like it either. Not that I care. I'm a man of the people and all, but I just... But then I forgot, and blah, blah, blah. But I got a thing in my inbox today. Let's see if I have it. I might actually have it here. Hold on. This is gripping, isn't it? Here we go. Interview opportunity with David Arquette. Fox would like to know if any of our stations would be interested in an on-air interview with David Arquette. Producer? Really? Is he in it? Or is he just the producer?
I'm sure he's just... Well, why don't we ask our special guest if he watched it.
Who's our special... Oh.
You have his thing.
Oh, really?
Maybe not so much special as our guest.
Our special guest? That's the best we can do? Okay. You know, whatever you say. You know,
no, big fiesta on. For homosexuals.
What?
No, I thought you were going to do it.
Yes, Fuel is a illegal immigrant. I can't even remember how it goes now.
You've got to email that to me. I lost it.
All right. There you go. Hello, sir.
Hi. This has been a fabulous show. I rarely say this because it is so loosely used. But in listening to today's show... No, yeah, let's get off of Mom's.
Come on, that was funny.
That's gross.
Get off of Mom's. I just got off of yours.
Bam.
I don't loosely use the term best show ever. But when you can talk about... Caligula? I can never say that word right. Whatever.
You be careful, because there's like three different bad words that sound
like
that.
Yeah, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. The Lisa Goddard interview, or whatever her last name is now.
And then I'm a thousand today.
I am. And then actually, you know, the movement. All right, no, I was thinking, it made
what
me think
are you
of
talking
it
about?
Made me think of movement, but it was the...
Is he on drugs?
A little bit. What was the word? I wrote it down. Oh, I have a... expanding surge in my stomach. And that's what I was thinking. Those two words made me think of a movement. And that was my trigger word to make me think of the two words. When you can get expanding surge and movement in one sentence...
I am experiencing fear.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Dennis has gone crazy.
Expanding movement?
In my stomach.
No, expanding surge.
Is he pregnant?
No, she is not either. Though we practice as much as possible. I was getting at...
God, you're wrong.
I was getting at the fact that your conversation with Lisa Goddard, is that how you
Goddard.
Say it? Goddard.
Yes.
Lisa Emerson, that...
Hey, that's you saying that, not me, by the way.
Hey, you suggested
creepy
it.
Creepy emails to Lisa.
I right. see you signing it like a grade school girl.
Right, Rick plus Lisa. Rick and Lisa forever on my folder. Yeah.
No, I remember the words that the congressman used. Am I the only one?
What
that
are you talking about?
The beginning of the show. For God's sakes, that you were talking about the words expanding surge. It made me think of not only the bathroom talk that's been over the last couple of weeks, but it made me think of something that was funny, which was somehow you got the words surge, expanding, and movement all in one sentence. If I have to skim the show myself and cut it down, I will. I'm sorry,
Dennis,
I'm not on the phone. I will still be here.
Oh. Let's welcome Tim Riley now from the Ministry of Truth. It's and then we'll check back in with Dennis.
Should I just take a break?
Why don't you stand over in the corner for a few and we'll...
I'm going to go over here and breathe.
Thank you. Just get some...
Let me unplug these for you.
Get some space. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
God, just stop it. Stop it now. Hi, Tim.
Greetings.
That's a great shirt, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
It's very distinguished.
I am a fan of that shirt.
Well, I'm a news director of a CBS affiliate, so I must look good at all times.
Is that Liz Claiborne, by any chance?
I'm not sure.
All right, just checking. All right, it's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know personally. Well, get ready for lots of snow, because it's coming. One source says by 10 o'clock tonight, another source says after midnight, so somewhere in between that. Yes, Portland is in store for an icy night tomorrow and a snowy morning for the drive-in. Accumulations, 1 to 2 inches above the 500-foot level, so it's going to be lower than usual.
Thank you.
As temperatures continue to plunge, black ice will coat roads by tomorrow night. But when it's all over with, it's going to be sunny and cold, and everyone will forget the whole thing.
There ought to be a black superhero named Black Ice.
Oh, I
and
like
then
that.
It'd be sort of like a Mr. Freeze.
Maybe like
soul.
One of those rap singers?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah. Yeah, and he's like, and now you froze. Now go get hose. And then he just ice out of his fingertips, but he's black ice. That's funny.
I suppose.
The youth need a role model.
Yes.
The urban youth.
You think their role model should be black ice? Does he say positive things like stay in school?
Be cool. See, because he's ice.
Be cool, and then it shoots out of his fingertips.
Stay in school.
Get hot on sports. How's that for a street cred?
I don't know what else Black Ice would say other than be cool, stay in school. He might also say, because he would also talk about having lots of, because don't the kids have ice, which is also like bling? Isn't some of the jewelry ice?
Someone says, wish you'd stop talking.
I don't know very many kids, so I don't know what they call anything.
Dennis, do the kids call bling ice?
Yes.
See, there you go, and he goes,
oh, wow, from two middle-aged men.
Oh, yeah, two middle-aged white men. What they do is they get froze.
Oh, they get froze.
Freezing my ears out.
That is fantastic. They get a... You guys need froze. Yeah. And then he's black ice.
So is he going to have a fro, too?
I don't know. That's the best idea I've ever had, really. And I say that about some things, but literally, that's the best idea ever.
Best show ever.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, poor Suzanne Summers. Her home was destroyed by a fire. One of several very expensive homes in a multi-million-dollar blaze to hit Malibu. Firefighters still at the scene of flare-ups today. In addition to those destroyed, four of the houses were significantly damaged, all owned by rich people. It's not like a death in the family, says Suzanne Summers. We'll rebuild. The 60-year-old actress says her husband, Alan Hamill, will make things right as he always does. Meanwhile, a Bay City, Michigan teenager facing multiple charges after he repeatedly rammed the car of another teenage girl, assuming her to be her girlfriend. The 19-year-old boy was trying to stop her because he wanted to sort out their differences by seeking a goodnight kiss.
And so the answer was to ram her car how many times?
Let's see here. Several times. The 17-year-old pine coning girl whose car was hit on Sunday near Linwood.
A pine coning girl?
Yeah. The name of this town is Pine Coning.
Oh. I was going to say, we had a girl like that.
She complained to 911 that her car had been rammed as many as 16 times. Here you go, 16 times. But escaped unhurt. Imagine that. The teenager told police he was talking to his girlfriend on his cell phone simultaneously, telling her to stop her car, but she appeared confused and had no clue what he was talking about. The teenager likely faces charges including assault with a vehicle, fleeing police, and drunk driving.
Here are some ways to not get the attention of a girl you like. Don't ram her car repeatedly with yours. Don't call her house and hang up. Don't kill one of her pets. These are all things you shouldn't do. Anything anybody'd like to add?
Maybe some... constant text messaging?
I didn't say that. Any other submissions from the room?
No.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
So once again, expect 1 to 3 inches tonight as the snow level drops to 300 feet.
Looking in your direction, Mrs. J.
All right. Okay. More of the suburbs and in the urban areas.
We will have more from the Ministry of Truth later on this hour. We should also get the suburban perspective later because I've created a bed for it. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbogger from The Fuel Show. Darren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. I got a good mascot story for you. Back when I worked at Safe and Safari at OMSI, one of the first costumes I ever had to go into was this giant bacteria suit that was inflatable, which is the best thing in the world because children walked up and kicked me a lot because I was wearing a big old banner that says, fight back.
Oh, and so they're like, I'm going to fight back against Streptococcus. Bam! And then they would come up and just, yeah.
So the best part is, later on, while I was actually out of the suit and I was helping outside with them, this lady... I saw a lady just walked up to me and was screaming at us, saying, how can you do this? How can you have kids? And apparently she thought that the kids were like hugging a giant hand grenade because this was just before the Iraq war started. So it looked like we were like promoting the Iraq war. So she thought the giant bacteria suit was a hand grenade.
This is the weirdest story ever.
The best. We had a lot of suits that had problems. We had a toucan suit that if you turn suddenly, you could hit someone and kill them. Well, not really kill them.
Oh, yeah, because of the bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look down, you poke a kid in the eye. there's a few children that just are, like, completely disturbed. We have one kid that choked a puppet that was in a wheelchair.
He choked a puppet?
Yeah, he choked it. I guess he was looking for the hand. It was in the neck.
Like punching the mascot?
Oh, yeah, kids hit me. I had one kid lift up the back of my suit and slap me in the back.
Choking the puppet.
Where's little Johnny? I saw him out back choking the puppet.
So.
God, we're five. All right, thank you, Darren.
Have a good day.
You call us anytime.
What's the one about the Pope?
What do you mean?
Wasn't there...
Polishing the bishop.
Why would the bishop need to be polished, Dennis?
Because his wife wasn't home.
Okay, that doesn't... We're not going to ask you any questions.
Can I chime in on the mascot thing and actually make a comment that would be somehow tieable to one of the stories you're talking about?
Let me just say this, Scotty just
begging
filled
for
with tentacles. I don't even know what this means.
Play another.
Scotty just said this on the screen, like in all caps. New sound for you to play. Do it now. Look at Banner, Michael. Filled with tentacles. I want to lick the screen.
Yeah.
Having your junk beaten with a rubber hose. Hey, can I squirt some music your way? That is fantastic. Oh, feels good. I don't even know why. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to snort lately.
Are there more?
With a steel dildo.
Whoa.
God, I don't know why I would say any of these things. Let's see here.
You can strap yourself in.
Okay.
Do you have a round hound? It is not crap. It's for the people doing folk dances in short pants.
And?
Is your husky a little bit too husky?
All right, there you go. I think really the best is this one.
Hey, can I squirt some music your way?
That's fantastic. Well done, Scotty. Thank you, sir. Dennis Pitzenbacher, what's up with you, brother?
Doing well. I have to say that the kid who got socked in the face by Tigger.
Oh, yeah.
Is a lying little bastard.
Oh, no. The kid was, I mean, in my estimation, the kid was doing something to ask for.
Oh, I can tell you.
You don't blow a cush job like that.
No, and you could see the kid's eyes in the interview. I mean, I'm sorry. Everyone, little poker note. You can call it human nature. Down and to the right with the eye movement.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Totally.
And the kid just looks right at the camera, looks down to the right. I didn't know what happened. It was just like, and you can just see the dad, like, turning red on one side as he's just cashing the check already.
No.
That whole story infuriated me when I saw it on the news last night.
No, it's true. And you watch that video. And, like, again, Tim and I have talked about this. We have talked about mascots on the show so much because they're fantastic. Because all kids abuse mascots. It's just the way of the world. And again, you work at Disney World, Disneyland. There was that case a couple years ago where Tigger, it was like a gang raping of some kind. Do you remember that?
It was a simulated one. Like, they all got... They all were in some room together. They're all dressed up and they
doing like
pretended.
An Abu Ghraib kind of a thing. But
yeah. But
you sure it wasn't a real raping?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there was some.
That wasn't last year either. It was like a few months ago.
Yeah, there was some unpleasantness with one of the characters.
You just hear YouTube going crazy right
no,
now.
No, there's something like that. But yeah, but then. So they screen those people pretty carefully. But yeah. Yeah, it's a whole lot of nothing.
Can't screen them on the inside.
No. That really is a.
Hey, can I squirt some music your way?
You know, the funny thing is, that's how deeply into my psychosis this show goes, because I can tell you where I was, on what street I was, when I heard that on the radio.
Really pathetic.
I was in my workday, trying as hard as I can.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but so you saw Dirt, so you liked it, though? You liked the show?
I personally liked Dirt. I thought the show was entertaining. I liked the way that each character had a little bit of development along the way, and... It just seemed, I liked actually the photographer, or whatever you want to call him.
I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it.
There's a paparazzi that's kind of, I don't remember her name in the show, but Courtney Cox, the magazine she works for, has this paparazzi who's supposedly the best in the business. Guy wears the little, you know, Dick Tracy hat turned up in the front.
With the press pass stuck in the brim.
Exactly. And he's taking, like, you know, multiple medications to keep him within the yellow lines. And it's just, there's a couple scenes where he's going to get the medication, and he comes back and his cat's dead, and he's, you know, running around the city with his cat, dead cat in a bag. And I don't know, for some reason, it just, the whole story, the way that that character developed, brought me into the show enough to make me want to watch it again. I mean, I actually set the recorder to make sure that I didn't miss that show if I was watching something else. I thought it was entertaining. I think it's one of those shows that if you don't go back and watch the pilot, you will be lost beyond
all control. That's my thing. You see, now I have to play catch-up if I want to try to get it.
Yeah, it's like 24 is coming up this week, and I know you're not the biggest fan, but I am a huge fan.
I'm just too behind to ever start now.
Well, and then that's the problem. It's like Sopranos. I mean, I made my wife watch all the way back to the first season. I mean, night after night, a couple episodes a night.
Yeah.
Now, she's looking forward to the final episodes that are coming up. In like 2011.
Totally.
I
made Laura do that with Buffy. I'm like, strap yourself in. It's going to be like a long 2 weeks. We totally have to, we have to catch you up with Buffy. Do we have breaking news? Oh.
But I just have to say that. Oh, now, you know,
you can't hand private notes. Yeah. Tim is handing private notes to Sarah.
Is that a note for everyone in the class?
Was something you'd like to share? Did you bring enough for everyone? Oh.
Don't, come on now.
No, I will reveal. I should print out the other one and put it up in there.
Put them right next to each other.
Well, you may remember, I don't know if you were listening early on, in the first hour of this program when I received from someone who will not be identified.
Oh, the unfortunate news that
I received
the former
memo.
Broadcaster of both my show and yours.
I received a memo from deep inside the bowels of Entercom, which is the company that had this program and then callously threw it away. Didn't know what they had, didn't appreciate it, didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, they knew that they were throwing us away.
Couldn't find their ass, two hands and a map.
Most people in a bunker end up committing suicide. I'm just saying.
Anywho,
let's see, Entercom, Adolf Hitler, Eva Braun. I'm just...
That's Dennis Pitchenberg making this. I was just taking it one way, and you like went a whole different direction with that. You're kind of freaking me out today, man.
I have a concealed weapons permit. Oh, I don't know. I'm just sharing.
Are you on something today?
There is to be.
You've got a weirdness about you.
I have just had a great day. I am upbeat today.
Well,
I'm
with all the Hitler talk and guns, it shows.
Well, then, yeah, that, and I have a...
And
let's don't kill ourselves.
Yeah. No.
And you're in a small room with him. Well,
people don't realize how close we are. Dennis is
expanding surge.
Dennis's knee and my knee are literally like 2.5 feet apart.
Dennis could kill you and start on me before Will could get in here and take him down. Anyway, let me just read this. No, so I got this memo from inside Entercom from someone who will not be identified ever in any way. And again, we don't want to. I don't want to. If you care about this, you don't want to be too jaunty about it because, as I said, as is always the case, bad management just laid everything on the air staff, and the only people who really took it in the shorts are the air talent, as is always the case in these situations. So some of the air talent over at Kissin, which is the station that replaced us, because they fired us to keep Kissin, which it turns out they chose poorly. It's kind of like when you choose door number two, and that's just a big pile of donkey crap. That's kind of what that turned out to be, apparently. And so the only people, of course, as always happens, the people who are paying the price are the people who are on the air. So they have been asked to leave. They have been given a box, and I think probably a few hours to get all of their crap out of the building. And then we got this memo, which contained this telltale sentence from Aaron Hubert, who described our audience as being tiny. She said, unfortunately, we just couldn't find a way to keep the station from losing money. So the answer, of course, is always just to fire everybody with a heartbeat and a pulse, because that's the surefire money-saving technique, is just always to fire the DJs. Because undoubtedly, it was the DJs that made all of the decisions that led you to this point. Undoubtedly, it was the air talent who made every single wrong choice. It was the air talent who made all of the marketing decisions. It was the air talent who made all of the poor choices that management laid down on everybody. It was the air talent that took the station in all of the failed directions. So, of course, they should bear the brunt of every bit of this.
I have to say that after that happens... you have to remember that when you see the parking lot the next day, it's still the nice cars that are there.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
I mean, from a cars guy perspective.
No, the only people that really ever get fired are the people that had nothing to do with it. Anyway, so that came out from Intercom. So that's a mixed bag. And then right here, Tim just printed this out and handed it to us. And then he wrote in big letters, ironic, at the top, which it is. This is not so internal. This is a memo that just came out here at CBS. This came out at 4:54. No, I guess not. I guess they've adjusted this. So I guess it was 1:50. This came out about an hour
before
ago.
Before you read that, do I still have a job?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, subject line, this isn't a CBS email.
It's a positive email.
It's a positive email. Subject line, K-Hit celebrates its first birthday. And then it says, please join us this afternoon at 3 p.m. in the conference room for cake to celebrate the one-year anniversary slash birthday of K-Hits 106.7, which is where all of the audience from Kiss and Radio went to. And K-Hits, by the way, and I don't say this because I work here, I'm saying it because it's true. K-Hits is a much better radio station, by the way. K-Hits, I'm not really in the demo, but it's fine radio stations, done well, marketed well, imaged well, great music, great air talent who worked there. So, happy birthday, K-Hits! Maybe we should just... Ernie, oh, I'll bleep that because that was mean. But I'm just going to say... No,
you should send it to Aaron.
Aaron, would you like some cake? Have some cake. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 70. AM 70, Solid Sim Radio. Back after this, don't go anywhere. Seriously, I want you to keep Dennis over there.
He's so close to me.
I want your talent to rub off on me, he says to Tim. And Tim responds...
No, he said, actually, do I have to move? I'd like your talent to rub off on me.
And then Tim responded quite reasonably, you have a lot of your own. And then Dennis said, yes, but I can never get it to come out. Zing! So... To recap today, we'd like to wish a happy first birthday to K-Hits 106.7, a fantastic station, growing by leaps and bounds, marching on a road of bones and severed heads to victory. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It is a vast improvement over burnt out oldies and dead air. There's really... more of that coming for people who enjoy it on the AM band.
No, it's true. Oh, God.
We kind of sound like we're being mean, but people need to remember these are the people that...
There's no one out there to be mean to.
Yeah. They callously fired.
No, there's nobody. That's the thing is, the people who really deserve our sympathy as of today, as of what time is it, 3 o'clock? Oh, they're gone. Mm-hmm. So the people who and I don't want us to sound callous or cruel for the sake of it, the people who deserve our sympathy and our pity, they're gone. They're standing waiting for a bus somewhere to take them home. There's only two things left in that building, the management and machines. So, you know, and neither of those things ever pay the price for their poor decision making. It's always the guys who have been escorted out of the building by now.
Here's Tim Riley. Well, speaking of that, the president will continue to do as he pleases. He's going to send additional troops into Iraq, whether you like it or not, beginning on January 31st.
What could possibly go wrong?
So there. Oh, there's a big storm coming here tonight. Snow expected between 10 and midnight, possibly 1 to 3 inches. It's going to be a slippery ride and an ice storm for tomorrow night, too. So don't say we didn't warn you. Well, there's a new book out entitled 8 Weeks to a Younger Body. This book offers readers a way to beat their body clocks. 8 Weeks to a Younger Body promises to share the secret of looking youthful and losing weight.
Beat your body clock.
That's correct. Author Joan Pagano says the body begins to quickly decline after the age of 30.
You have all those years when you think you are just skating. But in fact, if you were doing an exercise program for all those midlife years, you would be setting yourself up better for the aging process.
She sounds like an unlikable crank.
That's right. This book contains lots of pictures, and the directions are very clear.
They're very high-quality paper and photographs, and very
it's
easy to
follow. It's a book.
Follow,
what is it supposed to be made out of?
And pleasant to look at. So when you leaf through the book, it's exciting. It makes you want to do the exercises, as opposed to opening a typical book, which is all text,
Apparently she's the inculter of exercise for the over 30 crowd.
You don't need to worry about reading and actually furrowing your brow to figure out what sentences mean.
Paris Hilton's attorney entered not guilty pleas on her behalf this afternoon of misdemeanor charges, driving under the influence. Hilton, who's 25, wasn't appearing in court. Arrested in Hollywood in September, police said she was driving erratically and pulled her over for a field sobriety test. The judge set the pretrial hearing for January 23rd. The trial must begin by February 23rd. She, by the way, is a first offender.
Boy, I wish
so she would face a fine.
All right. Okay.
And that's it?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Proof. Tim Riley. World's finest newsman.
We're clapping a lot today.
It's true. Well, it's because it's the best show ever. Thank you, Tim Riley.
Oh, you're
thanks,
welcome.
Tim.
All right. Well, I've created this. Should I...
No, you should call him in first and then play.
All right. Let's.
You say that you want her dead. Have you done your Deadpool for 2007?
And I understand...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Understand, I'm not saying that anybody... I mean, I wish Paris Hilton a long life. Not really. I'm not saying anybody should take steps to make that happen. I'm just saying I will not cry. I will not weep for her. Scotty J, hello, sir.
Afternoon.
How are you?
Good.
All right. You know, as you grow that facial hair, you're looking like someone, and I can't quite place who it is.
Somebody that you can take advice from, maybe?
What is that?
It accentuates his crazy eyes.
You do have crazy eyes, Scotty. That's right. That's true. I never really noticed.
They're like big and a little close together.
Really? Big and like, close together.
Like little evil ball bearings.
So Scotty's worked up. I asked him, because he doesn't like being caught off guard about the topics we talk about.
All right. And so Scotty, we have, by audience popular demand, another exciting installment of The Suburban Perspective. By the way, if you'd like to ask Scotty a question, the phone lines are open at 503-733-2970. If you have a question for Scotty on The Suburban Perspective, 503-733-2970. And when you call up, because he's in here, we'll just sort of take those and put you on hold sort of unscreened. It's 503-733-2970 if you have a question for Scotty J. And now another exciting installment of Scotty J. in The Suburban Perspective. Hi, Scotty.
How's it going?
How are you?
Good.
All right.
Wow, you put a lot of work into that.
It's what I do. I know there aren't enough bagpipes in there for you, but, you know, Rick Emerson aims to please. All right, Scotty. Before we go on, is there anything you'd like to clarify about Adam and Eve and navels and cavemen?
I'm going to stick with my first answer that they were first. They must have been cavemanish because, you know, then the caveman evolved into what we are today. And as far as the belly buttons, that is usually due to the umbilical cord being cut off, so they must not have had belly buttons.
Just as a side note, so Adam and Eve...
were first.
They were first.
Yes.
And then they had children...
Right.
Who became cavemen.
Adam and Eve must have been caveman-like.
So...
Even though in the pictures in Sunday school back in the 70s, they looked just like we do.
My question was going to be, so Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel.
Correct.
And then my question was, so then who did they have sex with?
Well, we don't need to answer that because that's, you know, I'm too old to answer that question.
I don't understand what that means.
I was raised...
Did they have belly buttons?
I was raised not to talk that way.
I don't understand. I'm just asking. So there's Adam and Eve. Presumably there's only one woman.
Right.
So there's Cain and Abel. Yeah, so where then do the other children come from?
You figure it out.
I can't. I've thought about it, and there is no answer.
That's why I don't have religious conversations, because there's a lot of holes out there.
Apparently. All right. So as you may or may not know, we've got this announcement we have this word that tomorrow in his speech, George Bush will announce that we are sending 30,000 additional troops to Iraq in a surge to assure permanent victory. Scotty J., what is the suburban perspective on the Iraq war?
You know what the sad part is? I used to be just a huge, firm Bush follower, believer in the war, on and on and on and on. Right?
It just writes itself.
I couldn't wait for this guy to be, you know, in the second term. However,
A big firm bush follower.
All right. Well,
yes.
The problem is, you know, we got Saddam and things really aren't changing and the war is continuing to escalate into what they're calling a civil war.
You just did quote marks. I want to note that Scotty just did big exaggerated quote marks with his hands. When you say they are calling a civil war, who's they?
The media.
Okay.
And I'm starting to waver, which is something I never do. I usually stand firm on my ground, but on this particular issue...
You're starting to waver.
Yeah. Think about this. I think, I don't know exact numbers, but trillions of dollars have gone into this war. And we talk about building this border, you know, across America to keep illegal immigrants out. Well, for the trillions of dollars that they spent over there, they could have moved everybody out of Iraq, right?
to where?
Just neighboring countries. Then there wouldn't be a war in Iraq anymore. Secondly, then they could build this enormous fence, like twice over for the price of the war, okay? And then bring people back in one by one.
So your solution to Middle East violence is to take everyone in Iraq and forcibly move them to neighboring countries?
Yes. That's one.
No, and then build a fence and let them back into their country.
That's
one by one.
Genius. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
For the money, you
yeah,
could
how
do
would
it.
They get back in? What I mean,
we would have a gatekeeper.
What? There's
a guy standing there checking tickets, just like when immigrants came over from, you know, to New York, right? You know, on Ellis Island, that type of thing.
Just like that.
Just like that. We'll bring them back in.
Okay.
It's less deadly, by the way.
Defense?
What's less deadly
just
than
the,
what?
The, you know, clearing it all out, then these people can stay in other countries if they want, or they can come back to the new
kind of like
country.
A vacation.
Yeah, exactly. It's less deadly.
What? Okay.
Then they can come back to the new country.
So what
it
are?
Could be, you know what? It could be like Disneyland being built. You build a fence, you rebuild the entire country, then you let them back in for admission.
What are Iraq's neighboring countries?
Iran, a couple other ones.
What kind of people live in Iran?
Well, there's all sorts of people over there. Right now, we have terrorists living over there.
It's 503-733-2970. We have here firm Bush follower Scotty J with the suburban perspective. Hello, sir. Who is this?
This is John.
Hi, John. How can I help you?
Well, actually, I was just calling to talk to Scotty J to clear up some...
He's right here, sir.
Bible trivia for
okay.
you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, in the book of Genesis, I don't have a Bible on me directly, but in one of the verses there, Adam and Eve had multiple children. Cain and Abel were the first children they had, but they became mother and father to other sons and daughters. And so, even though it's not much better, evidently Cain would have taken one of his sisters and spread seed that way.
And been with her in a biblical fashion, quite literally.
Yeah.
Scotty, do you believe that to be true?
Well, that's what I didn't want to talk about. That's
what?
Exactly what
the
I.
Incest?
That's what
the
I.
The incest.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said earlier. That.
So do you believe that in certain circumstances?
That's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of holes. And there's a lot of holes.
You have to quit just saying that and then not finishing your sentence. Thank you, sir. So do you believe in?
So do you believe you came from the incestuous relationship between a brother and a sister?
Well, according to the way that you know it's been laid out, apparently so.
So you believe that in certain circumstances, incest is all right.
But they were cavemen.
Because they're cavemen.
Because they were cavemen and didn't know any better.
No, Rick Emerson, that is what you believe.
I'm
still curious about the caveman thing. So do you think they were cavemen?
They must have been. Because
so did
know,
they evolve
really
into humans?
You know, I really am not a huge religious follower slash reader, you know, on any topic for that matter. But anyways, so, obviously, if Adam and Eve were first, then they must have been caveman-like. They
you
had to be.
You keep saying caveman-like.
They must have looked like cavemen.
What is the difference between being caveman-like and actually
being a,
being
caveman.
A caveman?
There is no difference. Well, I see the phones are lit.
No, it's. I think people are enjoying listening to you.
Well, be nice.
Rick Emerson's show, you're on with Scotty J. Hello, sir. Who's this?
This is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. What have you got to say to Scotty J?
Well, Scotty J's right. He just doesn't know it. So what happened was Cain and Abel, they bred with monkeys. And then that created the cavemen, and they had to evolve from there.
Scotty J., how do you feel about that theory?
That's an interesting concept.
You said the cavemen came after Adam and Eve and then evolved from cavemen. That takes care of creation and evolution.
There you go, Scotty J. It's an exciting new theory for you to embrace.
Wow, I don't have to think about it anymore.
Thank you, sir. All right. Hi, I'll take one more here. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yeah, you know, I would just like to tell that fella that he owes the American people an apology. He sounds like a nice enough guy, but it's people in his position who were fooled into giving this fellow his voting base, and that is why we have the Iraq War.
How do you feel about that, sir?
Okay, well, there you go. Clearly, he had nothing else to add. You can tell because he ended on the big downbeat note like that, and we're done. Scotty J., parting words for today?
No. This has been real.
Okay. Thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Scotty J. with The Suburban Perspective. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Radio Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Coming up on tomorrow's program, I had speaks with Peter Carlin, who claims that no one ever tried to contact him yesterday. I emailed Peter Carlin because we had booked him, and I'd confirmed with him, and he never showed up. And I emailed Peter Carlin this morning, and I said, hey, what gives? TV critic, New Oregonian. And he says, well, I don't know. I was at my desk all day. No one ever called me. And I said, you know, Scotty J. claims that he called all three of your numbers. And Peter's like, I was here all day. And I swear to God, Peter Carlin then said, that bitch deserves a beating. I swear to Christ, that's what he said. So we're going to have him on tomorrow. Tomorrow, two-ish, Peter Carlin will be here. We should wish a happy birthday to David Bowie, who turns, he claims to only be 60 today. And you're right, I actually thought he was older than that, but he still doesn't look it.
I saw him in concert a few years ago, and he looked really good.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about him, is like, he's 60, I would have guessed older, but I admit that I have no benchmark. Like, I have no way to... Like, there is no way to tell.
Well, I thought he was, like, 30 in 1960. I mean,
it's like a flat-out guess at this point. You have no... He's just Teflon. You have nothing on which to grab. There's no way to tell.
His real birth certificate was burned years and years ago.
Yeah, he is an alien. But we got this... we would like to know if you'd like to interview David Arquette, producer of the new FX show Dirt that premiered last week starring Courtney Cox. Please let me know if you're interested so I can follow up. Nothing confirmed. But they want to know the interest level. This is like that Dane Cook thing where they dangle. But see, they dangled that Dane Cook thing in front of us and they snatched it away.
That's probably exactly what they're doing with this.
They just want to gauge the interest level. And so, you know, whatever. So, I don't know. We'll say yes and then they'll take it away and we won't get to interview him.
I'd like to know. I think it'd be kind of interesting to hear that interview. I mean, you can imagine that the guy... I mean, talk about the meal ticket.
I'd totally be willing to do it. But we tried to interview Dane Cook and then they canceled the interviews. So, if you know... Anyway. Let's see. Scotty. My supporting peeps always hang up, he says. We're here with Dennis Pitsenbarger. What's coming up in the Fuel Show this weekend?
Well, actually, this weekend we got a pretty exciting show. Mimo Gidley, who is a driver for the Daytona 24-Hour Endurance Race, is going to be on the show. And, of course, we'll be doing some new car reviews. And, of course, on Sunday on Portland CW, 12:30, we actually are going to do a hybrid special where we're going to be testing both the Camry and Accord hybrid cars to see which one's actually the best of the bunch.
You can find out more at thefuelshow.com?
Thefuelshow.com.
Thefuelshow.com. Let's see here. We'll get mailman Chris in a moment. This is Adam. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hello.
Talk radio is going to be back on Broadway next month.
What do you mean talk? Like, the play. I thought you meant talk or like singing and dancing and twirling. You mean the Eric Bogosian play, Talk Radio.
That's the one.
Yeah, I was just watching that movie again the other night, which is funny because Sarah and I have talked about how it's a terrible film. And yet, I swear to God, every time it's on, like 1,000 times now, that movie comes on and I watch it to see if it's any better than I remember, and it never is. I watched the first 10 minutes.
Oliver Stone picks good topics.
It's true. No, I watched the first 15 minutes of that movie, and then I skip ahead to the end where he's killed. Sorry if I've just ruined it. It's a 30-year-old movie.
Ruined it the other day when we were talking about it.
Doesn't matter. I skip ahead to the end where the guy goes, you're dead, effer. and shoots him, and then it's over.
I just love the studio. What other talk? I mean, that is
I know.
Give me a break. It's amazing. I mean, I thought they had, like, leather couches.
Oh, no. And it's, like, the beautiful view of Houston, or Dallas, I think it is. And it's all, like, walnut inlaid, like, gold fixtures. And he's got, like, a wet bar in there. Yeah.
Yeah, so. And let's see the technical group from CBS Radio see me sitting here smoking Marlboros one after the other,
totally.
Putting them out on the control
smoking,
board.
Blowing smoke into a microphone.
You complain about callers sometimes, but how often do you get neo-Nazis?
No, it's true. Not since I worked in Spokane. No, that's, I said, no.
You're serious?
No, well, dude, Spokane's right next to, Idaho.
Lane, yes.
And, in fact, listen to this. Barry Champlain, who is the character in talk radio, was based on a real-life guy in Denver named Alan Berg, who was killed by neo-Nazis. He was a real-life talk show host. He was a Jewish talk show host in Denver, killed by neo-Nazis from Spokane. So it all comes full circle. So that guy in the movie was based on a guy killed by neo-Nazis from Spokane. There you go. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
I guess can we get a woo-woo for Northern Washington?
No. Yeah, when I lived in Spokane, I saved a bunch of this crap at home just because I have a big radio scrapbook. And if someday I'll have to put context, I'll have to label these things in my radio box, you know, so that people find that stuff and I'm dead and it's not labeled. They're going to get a very flawed picture of me because I got, like, radio T-shirts and air checks and whatever. And then I got this whole manila envelope full of neo-Nazi literature because this listener, his name is Kurt in Spokane, put me on a mailing list for the, like, a bunch of white Aryan resistance crap because he thought I was spreading the Zionist word and I was oppressing the white man and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I put you on a mailing list for some literature that's before the internet. Literature that'll set your mind right, Rick Emerson, so you are not disgracing the white people of this. And so for a while, like, for 3 or 4 months, I would just get all this I would just come in the secretary and be like, here's your mail. And it's like, here's just my regular crap, and then white Aryan resistance newsletter right on top.
Well, that's got to make you look good in the office pool.
Well, it's Spokane, everybody. It's Spokane. Every third person subscribes to the white Aryan resistance newsletter. Let's see. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, it's unbelievable. Kissing. Right at 3 o'clock, they went, kissing weather, and they played the background music for about 2 minutes. And nobody said anything.
Really? Just now?
Yes. The weather guy, everybody's gone. There's nobody there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Here it is right now. There's nobody there.
So they played the weather jingle and then the weather bed.
The jingle went on for, I think, at least a minute. And then it just faded out.
Oh.
I don't know who faded it. Maybe the computer faded it.
The computer. Hal finally just had enough. I'm fading out now, Dave. I'm segueing into a Bobby Darin record. Fantastic.
Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, sweet revenge.
I'd say I feel bad.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
You call us anytime. All right. Like I said, people can think we're being mean, but, you know, the people who we would be nice to are no longer there anyway. So, let's, can you turn my computer up here?
Mm-hmm.
This is the,
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you doing, buddy?
You know, it's been one of those days. I guess it depends on who you are today. My day has been okay.
You know, I got to agree with Dennis so far. It is best show ever today.
I'm not disagreeing. I just, you know, Sarah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad show.
It just seems kind of normal.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad show. I just don't know that I don't know that I would have picked today out of a lineup.
I meant what I said. I don't use that
term
loose.
You're high, though.
Well, no, not since, like, 2004.
Uh-huh. Really?
No, actually longer than that. I'm just saying.
I don't know. That was a pretty quick response. You didn't really wait. As far as the insurance company knows,
well, yeah. Or 1994. I seriously do not throw that term around loosely because I enjoy your show. You know I do.
I'm not trying to get to dog the show. I'm just saying.
I just think that if you want to hit a good show, what would make it at least worthy of the term best show ever is the way that you hit on all cylinders. I mean, it's like a V12. You're hitting on 10 or 11 most of the time, but when you hit on all 12, bang, it's there.
Gonna make me blush. All right. Let's, in terms of best show, did I get to everything today?
I believe so. I missed the show for about 10 minutes, and I believe I missed right when Jim Roop was calling.
Yeah.
Did he call?
Yeah, no, we got Jim Roop, yeah.
Okay, that's the only part I missed.
Bam!
And yes, Lisa Goddard, Scotty J, and you hit both. You said, Scott, what is he thinking, and the Suburban Perspective. You got them both. Dennis and the top five. Got everything that'll take the three away, put you back down to zero.
Fantastic. Ooh. That's how I roll. That's what I'm talking about.
You know what it was? The sprinkle was? The top five.
The sprinkle?
The sprinkle on the top, man.
Oh,
that made
I see.
It, you know,
the
I
jimmies.
Just, I was used to those coming around a lot more often.
I'm trying to do the top five more on. Not maybe not every day, but several times a week now. I feel bad. That
I feel like you made a New Year's resolution about it.
I did. It, not like I didn't like write it down or anything, but I just sort of like I don't know. I was just realizing that that's a thing that you know I like doing, and that I'd stopped. I just. It just got into a rut of not doing it. All right, mailman Chris, thank you. Do you work tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, have fun.
Yeah, well, it's my day off, but I'm going into work for a couple hours.
God bless you. Is Monday a holiday of some kind?
Next Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Oh, man, I can never keep track of any of the holidays. They just come on me when I'm not looking. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. And, hey, by the way, since you mentioned it, I think you could probably tell David Bowie's age by counting the rings on the toothpick stick in his eye.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's David Bowie. Joke there. All right. No, but we are here on the Monday. We are here. All right.
Of course we are.
Dennis Pitsenbarger. The website is thefuelshow.com. You can check him out right here Saturdays 9 to 11. Just a short 5 hours before the gymnasium. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard coming up tomorrow. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Our news god is Tim Riley. The PA and keeper of the Suburban Perspective is Scotty J. And, of course, the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave freaking Zinn. As always, we thank you for listening. Be safe. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. Stephanie Miller tomorrow at 7 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. Bye now.